Cervantes was fascinated by genre.
Barry Iff is the Cervantes Professor of Spanish at King's College London. Among his publications on this subject are Reading and Fiction in Golden Age Spain and the upcoming The Origins of the Novel in Spain.
He loved taking the expectations that readers had of certain kinds of work and playing with those expectations, defeating them, wrong-footing readers. And this novel is, in many ways, it's like a walk around, as it were, an art gallery. You go from one room to another. This is the chivalric room, that's the pastoral room, this is the Italian short story room, and so on. And you kind of walk through a whole anthology of European fiction at the time. And that, you know, it's very pleasurable, and I'm sure that he had in mind a whole batch of readers, of, you know, quite sophisticated, quite experienced readers who wouldn't just laugh at the slapstick in the book, but would have a nice, knowing smile on their face as they recognised episodes, not just from chivalric novels, but from other works of fiction that they read.
In part one, Don Quixote proceeds on Rocinante into the world. He comes upon an inn. He takes it to be a castle. He meets two prostitutes out front. He thinks they're noble damsels. He's made a knight, dubbed by the innkeeper, who plays along with Don Quixote's madness. And Don Quixote's off again, attacking passers-by he takes to be wrongdoers, meddling, causing trouble, being violent, taking beatings. Finally, he's rescued by an acquaintance who happens by. He's taken home. And this is the end of what scholars call the first sally. On the second sally, Sancho Panza, on his donkey, is by his side. Sancho Panza thinks that Don Quixote will one day make him the governor of an island. Don Quixote has said so, and he believes it too. What follows is a series of adventures, the attack on the windmills being the most famous. He thinks they're giants. He mistakes two flocks of sheep for armies. There are adventures and the stories of adventures, the interpolated stories, told by characters whom they encounter on their journey through the backcountry of Spain. Among these stories is The Captive's Tale, The Story of the Man Who Couldn't Keep from Prying, titles vary with translations, the stories of Cardenio and Lucinda, of Don Fernando and Dorothea. Part one becomes a tangle of characters and stories. Some of them are sorted out by chance reunions. As we make our way along with Don Quixote and his squire, we are there as lovers reunite, old misunderstandings are explained, loose ends tied up. Finally, as part one ends, Don Quixote is captured and brought home by worried friends. They bring him home imprisoned in an ox cart. Don Quixote's imagination meets this test. He believes he's been enchanted. How else could a great knight-errant such as he be contained in such lowly style? By the time this book came out, Cervantes was getting old. He was almost 60. He'd had more than his share of failures and hard times. He'd spent a lifetime, off and on, reading, and doing what he could to make a name by writing. Among his literary endeavors, he'd made a little headway as a poet. He'd had some plays produced. He'd published a novel, La Galatea. It was a pastoral novel, Shepherds and Shepherdesses. Cervantes promised a second part of La Galatea. On his deathbed, he was still promising. But Don Quixote was quickly popular. This didn't make Cervantes rich. The publisher made money, and there were lots of pirated editions. But people loved Don Quixote. And although the patron to whom Cervantes dedicated the book didn't much...